Well, that song goes right along with our scriptures today, so go tell it. Jesus Christ is born. And goes along with the great commission that we have all been given to do. So as we look at the scripture, turn to Luke chapter 15. Be reading verses 1 through 7. Pertains to being present among the lost. And this is one of the parables that I shared a few months ago, but this is I'll be presenting this in a different fashion this time, pertaining to being present among the lost. So let's begin with verse 1 of Luke chapter 15, which says, it's talking about the lost sheep. We are sheep, right? And according to Isaiah 53:6, we all go astray. We choose to go our own way sometimes until the Lord brings us back into the fold. So beginning with verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near Jesus to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble. Of course, they did. You know, Jesus had a rough time. You think we have it bad in our lives today when we're trying to witness and so forth? Just imagine Jesus, and they end up crucifying him. He died for a sin. So they were grumbling, saying, "This man receives sinners, and he eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and his family, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" And in verse 7, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous ones who need no repentance." It's always my desire to preach on real issues in life, the trends that we deal with in our society, issues that we deal with as believers. And so here's a real observation to start with this morning. This passage here is talking about, it's giving a response of criticism of the scribes and the Pharisees. You heard, as I read the scriptures, how they grumbled when Jesus began to speaking. And so these sinners were Jews who were not obeying the laws or the traditions of the elders, and were therefore, they was called outcast in Israel. The outcasts are those that are described as sinners. They called them outcasts. They oftentimes put them outside the city. Now, Jesus had already made it clear that he came to save sinners, not the righteous people, as we just read. You know, he went after the one. Why does the 99 need when they are shown to be righteous? So Jesus saw the sinners really were lost sheep who needed a shepherd. So I hope that we'll learn from this passage of scripture this morning, and that Jesus challenged those in listening ears and us as well who considered themselves as being spiritual elect, and they, the Israelites, we know, were the elect, and to consider just how valuable the lost are in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. All are valuable. All people in this world are valuable to Jesus. And we are to go after them. That's why I entitled it Being Present Among the Lost. Now, first of all, let's look at Jesus spent time among the lost. That's why he came into the world. I mean, John the Baptist, when he was going to lose his life, sent disciples to talk to Jesus, said, "Are you who you say you are?" And Jesus said, "You go tell John that I came for the lowly, the outcasts, the sinners, the lowly, the poor, that I might provide salvation to anyone who believes in me." And when the disciples went back and told John, then that was good enough for him. And that's good enough for us. So as believers, we must intentionally, let me emphasize that, intentionally, just like in James chapter 1, we are to intentionally listen, hear, receive, and practice the Word of God. So here, Jesus is saying we need to intentionally go about bringing the lost to Jesus Christ, bringing them to Him. So the ones who don't have a relationship with Him, who only seem to care about living for themselves, those are the ones we are to go intentionally to win to Him. So I want to encourage you, never, ever be afraid that if you do go after those who are lost or share your faith with anyone, you might be criticized by the Pharisees of this day. The Pharisees of that day were very critical. The Pharisees of this day can be critical, but that's okay. We, as we go out and witness or we meet people on a regular basis in the marketplace, it could be your neighbor, it could be your friends, it can be your own family members. If we're rejected, it's not us being rejected, it's the gospel. We are the instruments, the tools that God uses to go to seek the lost, to bring them to the faith in Jesus Christ. So, we need to share our faith. So, when we hear of sinners, and we're all sinners, right? We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Think about that. We're all sinners. Saved sinners. And that means that we can sin again after we're saved. But praise God, we belong to Him. We have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us as a radar in our lives that remind us when we do wrong. And that's at that point is when we repent again, not to be saved, but repent of our sins that we have committed. So even Christians sometimes mess up. We do, don't we? Did you mess up yesterday? Or this week, at any time?
Already this morning,
okay. Well, and we know what to do about that. And the Lord is forgiving. And that's why Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So all have sinned. And Christ died while we are yet in our sins, that we might have eternal life. So to clarify, sinning or sinners, that term sinners is used in the New Testament in the same way as the original language in the Old Testament, and it comes to the word called wicked. Sinners in the New Testament is the same term used in the Old Testament as wicked. So those two go hand in hand, New Testament sinners, Old Testament wicked. And sinners are those who know what the right thing to do, but don't always do it. And sometimes they just don't care. And the wicked, and it refers to the unrepentant as well. So in the New Testament, those people are called the crowds. The crowds. It's interesting how when you look at the scriptures in the Old and New, and the Greek and the Hebrew terms gives a different definition of that, but this is what it means and when it comes to unrepentant people, they are called the crowds. So here we find Jesus eating with those who were dishonest or crooks. They could have been tax collectors or someone like that, and keeping company with those who did not live according to the standards of the righteous, but lived entirely for themselves, and that's going back to referring to the crowds as sinners. So we learned that Jesus spent time hanging out. Hanging out. We've heard that term. We just hang out with our friends or our families or people with him. We hang out with them because we enjoy that. Jesus enjoyed hanging out with the lost because they knew they needed something other than their sinful ways of living and looking at life that way. So he let them know quickly that he came to take them out of darkness and put them in the light. Now, so when you're looking for something, think about this. Has anybody ever lost? Did you lose anything this week? Nobody lost anything this week and couldn't find it? Well, when you lose something, like a watch, or it could be a sock. Most of the time you find it the last place that you looked and the least place that you would even think about looking. And a sock, most of the time, it ends up in the dryer, right? You get them all out, but you leave one because it's tucked away somewhere and you don't see it when you get the clothes out. So it's the same way with those who are valuable to Jesus. I'm kind of using this as an analogy of losing things or those things that are lost that are valuable to us. Well, sinners are valuable to Jesus Christ. And so where do you look for those who are lost, those without the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Where do you look? Again, as I mentioned a while ago, it could be your neighbors, it could be your friends, it can be family members, it can be work acquaintances, it could be anyone that you just meet on the street or sit down on a bench somewhere and you're sitting there and you get, strike up a conversation and you find out a little bit about them. You know what? You can find out a whole lot about a person in 5 minutes. Right, Brenda? Because usually when she's shopping or doing something, I'm talking to people, sitting or walking or standing, and Brenda sees me doing this. She said, okay, where are they from? Where do they work? What about their family? So I tell them all of that stuff because I want to know. But I ask them, do you have a church home? And if they say yes and they tell me about that, then you can kind of think, okay, they know Jesus Christ, but I don't take anything for granted. But I will ask them, So you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. And they will either say yes or they don't know what I'm talking about. So that opens the door, a conversation about the Word of God. And oftentimes it's been very successful in that, or at least sowing that seed. Sometimes I don't have the time to go through the whole conversation of the Roman road or anything like that, but it gives an opportunity to sow that seed. And that's being present to a lost world. Now, let's move on to the second part here. Jesus said the lost are as sheep to be saved. That's why he said you leave the 99 and you go after that one that is lost. That's how valuable, think about it, that's how valuable the lost are to the Lord. One, there's 100 sheep and one is lost, and we are to go after that one. That's how valuable the Lord sees a sinner, the lost. So Jesus said the lost of the world are as sheep. That's what we're called. Sheep need a shepherd or a guide. Now, I think I quoted Isaiah 53:6 a while ago, where it said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, Isaiah spoke this back in the Old Testament, and he was speaking in terms of the coming Messiah, that the Messiah would be coming into this world to redeem the world, propitiation, the atonement, the shedding of his blood, the Lamb of God, for our sins. And it said that sheep only lie down when they are full. You ever notice a sheep lying down? If you're driving down the road and you see them out in the pasture, if they're laying down, that means they're full, okay? If they're still standing up, they're still eating. So, and if they lie down, they can't be left alone for very long unless they roll over and suffocate in their own wool. And this strange occurrence is called the cast. The cast. You see that one's laid on its back? Evidently, he's out because he suffocated in his own wool. And this is true. This is a fact about sheep. And that's why shepherds or people who have sheep do not, when they see them lying out in the field, they'll go and check on them, make sure they hadn't suffocated in their own wool. So if the owner doesn't arrive on the scene within a reasonable short of time, the sheep, they can die. So there are some of the reasons why the shepherds become concerned when a sheep wanders away from the fold. And that's the analogy, that's what Jesus was talking about, the lost. That one could die in its sin. Talking about sheep, people could die in our sins. When applied to the lost, they are in the world of hurt if no one goes after them. Then they die in their sins. Now, notice in verses 3-5, the one here, where Jesus said, the lost are as sheep to be saved. How the one sheep was considered very valuable. In biblical times, one sheep was equal to 22 or in one half shekels, okay? So one denarius was one day's wages of a herdsman. And you've probably heard this before, and you've probably read this in the scriptures. And there are four denarii in a shekel. So therefore, 22 and one half shekels, which was a valuable of one sheep, value of one sheep, was equal to 90 denarii and 90 days' wages. That's how the Bible sums that up. And it was no wonder why the shepherd left the 99 to to go after that one. The point is that Jesus sees the lost as extremely valuable and worthy pursuing. And that is our responsibility as Christians to do that. Now, I want you to see it this way as well. We never should never discount those who are lost. Never discount them. Or the people who appear so immersed in the world as to be without hope and everlasting being redeemed. Because it's very important. So no one is beyond hope in this world. And no one has strayed so far from the fold that they are unworthy to be rescued. Jesus sees everyone valuable. And the Lord's desire is that we take time to invest our lives. Because he invested his life in ours, didn't he? In each one of us personally. In my life personally. Your life personally. He invested his life. And he did that by giving his life for the redemption of sin. And we never know who could become the next great Christian leader in this world. You know, all the Christian leaders in this world, evangelists and those who have led great reformations, was once sinners. And then when they got saved, the Lord intervened in their life in a particular way that they became pastors or leaders or church leaders or Christian leaders in this world. You know, look at Billy Graham and Mordecai, which Mordecai led Billy Graham to the Lord. And I can go on and on and on down the list of great reformers of this world, of Christians. And we never know who God is going to call next to be a leader in this world. All right, let's look at the last one. Jesus said to rejoice when one is found. And if you've ever sat down and talked to someone and led them to the Lord, it is time to rejoice. Amen? And I thank the Lord for all the privileges and opportunities that I have had throughout my Christian life, even before I became a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor to lead someone to the Lord. Christians do that, right? Everyone, all of us here today are called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all can do that. We might not all be evangelists or teachers or pastors, but we all can share our faith. We can tell one beggar where to find the food, right? And we can tell one lost person where to find Jesus Christ, the same place that we did. And what a joy it is. And that's why this scripture tells us that it is time for rejoicing when we see even the angels in heaven rejoice over one lost sinner. So Jesus said here in verses 6 and 7, when the shepherd found the lost one, that one sheep, he rejoiced with his friends and family. So how wonderful it is to rejoice when one lost person comes to our church family and decides to start attending church, decides to get involved and start doing something for the Lord. That's one of the things I always encourage people who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I said, now that you are part of the family of God, he saved you and cleansed you, washed you away from your sins. What a wonderful way to return what Christ has done for you. Do something in service for him, and you'll certainly be blessed. So it's a good time to rejoice when we see a lost person coming to Jesus Christ and making an effort to attend church and making an effort to get involved in doing something for the Lord. How many of us realize our own witness can speak volumes. It can speak volumes telling someone about Jesus Christ and his saving grace. Now, in conclusion this morning, Jesus said in these verses that, well, Acts chapter 3, verse 8, and Acts chapter 8, verse 39, both Scripture and our own personal experience verifies the joy of our salvation. But there's also the joy of a person who does the finding, the one who goes after that loss, that sinner. That's a time of rejoicing as well. But there is also the joy of a person who wins that person to Christ, the excitement that you receive and the joy that you was a part of that person's accepting Christ. Now, Paul said in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that means that while we were sinning, having a good time, enjoying the world, Christ died for our sins. And we are to love people right where they are in life, realizing that they are at a point where they don't have the spiritual discernment necessary to know any better. So Christ, that's why he spent so much time with sinners, because he was meeting them exactly right where they were. He didn't condemn them. Matter of fact, John chapter 3, verse 16 says, you know, God for the love of the world, that he gave his only begotten son. And then in verse 17, Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that that person might accept me as his personal Savior. See, he didn't condemn us. We condemn ourselves. You think about that. God doesn't send anyone to everlasting punishment. The world sends themselves. And that's why we are always given all the opportunity in the world to make it right, our lives right with the Lord. You know, and you and I, we come to Jesus just as we are. Revelations chapter 22, verse 17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. You see in this verse, this one verse, Revelation 22, 17, three times, come to me, come, come, come. The Spirit and the bride says, come. Who hears? Going back to James chapter 1, where James is talking about the Word of God, who we hear it, we receive it, and then we apply it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? So, and let him who thirst for the spiritual things of God. That's what this verse is talking about. And whoever desires, let him drink of the water freely. And you won't thirst again, right? Like the woman at the well. Jesus said, drink from this, drink from the water of life. That be me, you'll never thirst again. He said, well, I have to come in this well every day. Well, you will, physically. But spiritually, you drink from the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. And there are no restrictions placed on those who partake of the water of salvation, eternal life in Christ. There's no restrictions. And what a wonderful confidence this is. We are not being used by God to gain some mysterious end of His. We're not being used that way. But this is what we are. We are the in, we are the go that is in us, all His love might be expressed. That's giving of ourselves, and what we might therefore share His glory. That's how we are being used. That's how we are to see it. That we are the end and the goal of sharing Jesus' love. What a joy it is to do that. And what a blessing it is. One of these days we stand before Him. He said, "My good and faithful servants." You think about when you get to heaven. We all get to heaven. And maybe you were instrumental in sowing a seed or bringing that person to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be there at the gate waiting for you and say, "Thank you. Thank you." I don't know how many people in my life that I have witnessed to on their deathbed who accepted Christ. That was the final moment of their life, either going into eternity, saved or lost. That's a great joy right there. And you can know it's sincere. And then those who realize they wasted their whole life living for themselves rather than Christ, but yet have peace knowing that they'll meet Christ face to face. That's the joy right there we find in making ourselves present in this world to others and sinners. Let us pray. Father God, we praise Your holy name. We thank You for Your scriptures. They do speak. Your Bible, Your word is life, is alive. And it speaks to our hearts, and it has feet, and it runs after us, and it has hands, and it takes hold of our lives. And when we express it that way to others, Lord, it does the same thing for them. May we think about this scripture today. And may it speak to each one of us. Lord, You speak to each one of us in different ways. We interpret things in different ways, but it all has the same meaning, just as the four Gospels speak. And they're the ones who wrote the scriptures. They wrote it differently, but it has the same meaning. It means they saw eye to eye. They witnessed Jesus' ministries. And they told it in their own way. But it has the same meaning. The same with us as we share our faith, which is our witness and our testimony with others. Help us be Your witnesses. Help us not be afraid. You're the one that's doing the saving. We are just Your instruments. Going after that one sheep, that one baptism we talk about often. There's always room for one more. May we make ourselves available to You, Lord, every day that we meet people. May we find out about them and try to find out if they know You personally. What a blessing it is when we see they make that decision to accept You. Lord, may we pray not to be afraid. May we be used by You. Be available to You. And You tell us that You go before us and You open the way. You'll make a way for us. By learning scriptures, memorizing them, and letting them take root in our heart. And they're always available at the right time. Lord, we thank You for this service. We thank You for this invitation. Lord, however You use it for Your honor and glory, Lord, and every one of us to be blessed by it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation, Jesus is Calling. May we stand.